to gather here together, listen to some great singing, and enjoy this entire time. Now, we've got our youth up front here. And Wednesday nights, every third Wednesday here is youth service, but tonight is a different youth service. We have Haley Morgan Smith. She's going to be singing for us. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to have a different person sing for us. His name is Chris Anderson. All right, guys, what I'd like to do tonight is before we get started, I'm going to turn this over here in just a few minutes, but I think we should pray before we get started. All right, everybody, let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thankful for this time. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your house. Father, we thank you for the men and the women and the children that helped put this together, Father. God, that we can be in this place to worship you. Father, we pray if there be someone in here tonight that don't know you, Father, that tonight would be the last one that they did not know you, Father, they would turn their life over to you. And God, we pray for your hand over the service. Father, we pray that things go smoothly, that we'd be obedient to what you'd have us do, and all the things that we'd do here, Father, would be pleasing to you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Chris Anderson, are you ready, buddy? Yes, sir. All right, here we go.
Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? Thank you so much for having me. I'm gonna try something a little different. I didn't know exactly what to play tonight. So this one's not exactly a gospel song, but it is always makes me really happy, so I figured I would share it with you guys. It's called Shindig with the Lord.
So here comes Peter, here comes Paul, all the way from Arkansas, to meet the man and say goodbye. Soon he'll fast and then he'll die. But we're having a shindig with the Lord. We're having a shindig with the Lord. Having a party down in the barn. We're having a shindig with the Lord. City, here comes Judas up the road. He's feeling bad because he told. So he tossed his money and he grabbed the rope. On his way to the shindig with the Lord. Well, they ate his bread, they drank his wine, and they talked about 33 years of life. But no goodbyes just till then. His
said, I'll see you on Easter. And they said, what's that? He said, that's the day that I'll be back. So keep your cool and don't be bad. For once again, we'll shake hands. So no goodbyes, just till then. I'm having a shindig with the Lord. I'm having a shindig with the Lord. I'm having a party down in the barn. Why don't you all just come along? Come along with me. Come along with me. Come along with me. Come along with me. 'Cause we're having a shindig with the Lord. We're having a party down in the barn. Why don't you all come along?
Thank you very much.
Now listen, I want to tell y'all that I have already told Haley that y'all are so much fun to sing for, because you are. I don't know if we've ever had this conversation with like the singers to the church before, but I have to tell y'all, I love singing for y'all. You're super into it. You're smiling. You're getting into it. So y'all show her some love tonight. I want to thank you so much for coming. When I've thought about Colin, and I've thought about Collier, and I've thought to myself, what are the odds that in my circle, I know two little boys that are fighting right now with their health, fighting so hard. What are the odds? And then I remembered that with God, it's not about odds. There are no odds. It's His plan. And He has opened up an opportunity for us as a church to be the hands and feet of Jesus for Colin and for Collier. And that's really what we're here for tonight, is for these boys. I want to introduce to y'all one of my very best friends. Y'all are going to love her. Y'all are going to love her. Y'all give her a big warm welcome. Show her some love, Miss Haley Morgan Smith.
Y'all doing good? Good. Sunny did a pretty good job of that little introduction there. You know, she's going to be emceeing at Collier's Calls along with John. And when I told her that this is, if you guys are familiar with Collier's Calls, right? The concert we'll be doing next week. And I was trying to think, what am I going to do about someone being the host or the MC? And I work at a large church in Atlanta. And I thought, well, I'm about to just get somebody from there. And then I just heard this loud, boisterous Southern accent, and I thought, that is it, God. Sunny Justice has got to be the MC, and to tone her down just a little bit would be John. I mean, God knew what He was absolutely doing when He put those two together, right? So we're really excited. If you haven't got tickets for Carter's Calls, just that alone, to listen to Sunny Justice ad-lib, is going to be worth every penny right there just to see that. Listen, y'all, I'm excited to be here. Are y'all excited to be here? Good. I'm going to sing a few songs for you, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about what God's done in my life and in my family's life. But here's the thing now. I grew up in a little bitty tiny church, and we were a clapping church. Are y'all a clapping church?
Do y'all clap on beat? Do you clap on beat? Let me try. Okay, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Our church didn't clap on beat. It was a hot mess. All right, we're gonna sing a couple of songs, and I want y'all to. You can get the beat right there. Oh, y'all got it. I mean, okay, like halftime of that, because then I'm gonna get like getting real fast and stuff. I'm gonna feel like I've got a rush through a song. So just this, that right there. Can y'all do that? Yeah, y'all got it. You want Jesus on the main line, tell you what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell you what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Jesus on the main line, tell you what you want. Jesus on the main line, well, tell you what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell you what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Come on, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around my bedside, Lord. John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down. Talking about John the Revelator. And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, all eyes like fire. Heard a great voice saying, John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. Saw feet like brass, all eyes like fire. Heard a great voice saying, come up. John the Revelator wrote about the city. All right, pick it up with me. Call him up, call him up. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. You got to call him up, and tell him what you want. I said, call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you're sick and you wanna get well, tell him what you want. If you're sick and you wanna get well, tell him what you want. I was sick and I got well, so tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Jesus on the main line now. Love it, I love it. I was going to get Sunny to sing with me on this one, but she's being a pansy, so I'm just going to sing it by myself. This is an old school song, but I love old school. And it's a really good song because it talks a little bit about some situations way, way, way before our time where there were people who had some sort of trial, and they were saying, hey, guy, listen, we need you to show up in this. And you're being a little bit delayed. And the truth of the matter is that God is always on time. He may not come when you want him, but he will be there on time. So we're going to sing about it. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. An on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come. But he'll be there right on time. On time, God. Yes, he is. You can ask the 5,000 hungry souls he fed on the banks of a river with two fish and five loaves of bread. Oh, what a miracle he performed for the multitude. Oh, what he did way back then, he'll do for me and you. Let me tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want, but he'll be there right on time. And on time. guessing this. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. Well, all right, let's do a training session. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. He's on. He's on time. He's on. He's on time, 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 he's on time. Alright, listen to the chorus. He's an on time guy. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on time guy. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come, we want him, but he'll be there right on time. Snap like this right here. He's an on-time guy. Yes, he is. Ooh, yeah. All right. That's pretty good. Listen, I'm from Rockmart, Georgia, but I have great ties to Hiram. My family, a good bit of my family lives in Hiram, and my great aunt is Jan Buckner. Most of y'all probably know who Wendy Bagel is because you probably drive on a road that has his name on it a lot. But Jan Buckner was one of the Sunlighters, and in fact, when I was 8 years old at my dad's birthday party, my family had always wanted me to sing, but I was always really scared to sing. And I was one of those kids in the youth group or in the kids Sunday school class or whatever that didn't talk to anybody. I was just really quiet. And when I was 8 years old, Jan came to my dad's birthday party and she forced me to sing. And from that point on until since then, that's been about 20 years ago now, she kind of launched me and helped me launch a ministry. And then a little bit later on down the road when I was 15, we didn't have a youth group like you guys have. It is phenomenal to me tonight. I know that this is this y'all's first night with the lights and stuff? Okay, cool. Y'all like it? Y'all cool with that? Look, here's the thing. When I was in high school, middle school, if this would have happened at our church, and like a lady probably would have hit the pastor with her purse afterwards. It would have never happened. I will never forget. One year we were trying to get like a little rebellious, and so we brought in an electric drum kit, and like that ain't it. It stayed there half of a Sunday. Didn't even make it through the whole service with the electric drum kit. So that was the kind of church that I grew up in. It was just kind of one of those churches where it was like a very strict church, and the way that they talked about God was that God was a God of wrath rather than God was a God of grace. And so, so honestly, most of the time when I was like your age, when I was like 15, I thought God was like a scary dude with a beard up in the sky, John Justice, but you know, more furious. And that he would just, that the only relationship that he wanted with us was for us to do whatever he said. Otherwise, he was going to zap us. Like, that was kind of it for me. And crazy enough, when I was 15, somebody came in to our church and said, hey, we need to have a youth group. I mean, we've got teenagers here. Like, they're going through some stuff. Like, we need to be talking about some things here. We need to do something about this. And so they sent us to youth camp. And youth camp had way more than electric drums, you know, like, and they had lights like this and electric guitars, and I was so sure I was going to hell after that. It was so scary. But the crazy thing was, that was when I started to understand a relationship with God, and that God, God is a God of justice, but God is a God of grace and God of love, and that he wanted to have a relationship with us, and that completely changed the game for me. To be really honest, my mom's here tonight. My mom had me when she was 18, and she and my grandparents kind of collaborated together, and so when I say my dad, I'm always talking about my grandfather. They, my grandparents and she kind of raised me together, and my biological father was never ever in the picture until I was about 6. He came back in, and he kind of did this thing where he was in and out for some months,
And then he left and he never came back. And so for a long time, I thought something had to be wrong with me that made what is supposed to be the most important man in a little girl's life not want me. Something had to be wrong with me. So when I went on, when I went to this summer camp, and they're talking about God is a father, and somebody even referred to God as daddy there, that just changed my world to know that here is the creator of the universe, and here I am, all sorts of messed up, and in the 10th grade, and I don't like. The biggest drama in my life right now is whether me and my boyfriend are going to stay together. And, I don't even know if my boyfriend wants me. And I'm just, my world's falling apart and all this kind of stuff. And then here, I'm just this little mess. And here's the creator of the universe saying, I want you and I love you. And not only do I want you like that. I want to be your daddy. I want to be your father. That completely changed my world to understand that God loved me in such a way. And that is the case for you. That's the case for all of you tonight. I don't know what you've done in your past. I don't know what's going on in your world tonight. I don't know who's walked away from you that should be in your life right now. But what I can tell you is that at the end of the day, people will fail you. Circumstances will fail you, but God will never fail you, and He will never leave you. And it's kind of crazy. I was talking about it. I love this analogy of I'm horrible with little kids. Are any of you horrible with little kids? Little kids scare me, mainly because of body fluids. I have a really big issue with body fluids. And when I think of it, you know, I'm married, and my husband and I, we've been kind of talking about the whole baby thing, but the biggest thing, the biggest pullback for me is like, what if it throws up? You know, like, what am I going to do when that happens? But when I think of little kids going to their mom, I've never seen a little kid with, you know, like snot all over his face and just all sorts of gross. And he's got a dirty diaper and whatever, and he raises his hands up to his mom, and I've never seen a mother go, no, go clean yourself up. Go clean yourself up and then come back to me. I've never seen that. I've always seen a mother pick up that kid, no matter how nasty and how messed up things are right now, and clean him off and hold him. In the same way, that is the way that God is, that we come to him and all he asks of us is to extend our arms to him and say, look, I'm a mess. I am broken. I'm nasty. And he doesn't say, okay, go clean yourself up. Go clean yourself up and then come back to me. He loves us like a daddy. He is our father. And he goes, okay, come here. And he picks us up and he cleans us off and he holds us. That's the way that is the God that we sing about. That's the God that we're talking about. That's the God that we encourage people in churches everywhere to live for every other day, all the other 6 days of the week. That's that God that loves us. I learned about that when I was 15, and it completely changed my world. And then right after that, the church that was doing that camp that you know I thought I was going to hell for, they came to me. I sang a little song at the camp, and for like a little talent show thing. It was a real small kind of deal. And they came to me and they said, hey, we would love for you to come and lead worship. And I was like, cool, what's worship? Because all we knew was like, you know, Red Book, you know, that's all that I knew. And so they're like, oh, and they explained it to me. And they invited me and they hired me right then to come and be a worship leader at their church. So I went from a church of about 50 people to leading worship for a church of about 14,000 within about a week, because it ended up being North Point Community Church. You guys are familiar with Charles Stanley. Andy Stanley is his son, and he's our pastor. And so from there, I started, I was 15 years old. And what's crazy is, you know, you guys are, the youth band is going to play in a little bit. And that's kind of where I started. I started playing, like I would play a little bit of music with some kids in my church and a couple of older people, because all the kids we're pretty terrible. And so they kind of helped us a little bit. And then all of a sudden I found myself in this place where I was leading worship. And from there, you know, several years later on down the road, I got signed by the biggest Christian label in the world. And I did that for a while, and I toured, and that's how I got to meet Jamie Grace and became really good friends with her and all sorts of things like that. But it all started here. It all started at my local church, at my little bitty church, and where I learned to love music and learned to love God. So that's kind of how I even got to the point where I played music and sang and things like that. And so, is it cool with you guys if I play a song that I wrote? Would that be cool with y'all? Let's do that. How about I play you a song that I've never played live before, ever in my entire life? Okay, I'm gonna test this one out for you. I think the only person who's ever heard this song has been my husband. But on the subject of babies and stuff, I was trying to think of how big God's love is for us, and so I thought, well, I know that when I married my husband, on the day of our wedding, it hit me. I didn't really know how much I loved him until the day of our wedding. I was like, dang, I love this dude. He's super hot, but like, I love him too. It's crazy. And then I started talking to people, mainly Sunday, about this, because I was going through a little bit of a crisis with the whole baby thing and when is that supposed to happen and what do I do when it does happen and all that. And she told me that there is no greater love than the love that you have for your children. And so I wrote a song that kind of talks about that. And to think about how much I love my husband and think about how much parents love their children, it's crazy to think that God loves us even more than that. So we want to sing this song for you. I don't even know what the title is called. You can name it tonight. Pretty little girl with her eyes wide open, morning comes way too fast. She holds your heart in the palm of her baby hands, and you melt when she laughs. It scares you to death of what the future's gonna bring. Homework, hometown, homecoming queen. You rock her as she falls back asleep, and you whisper while she dreams. Don't leave me hopelessly broken. My heart is too in this now. Words just cannot be spoken of how much I love you right now. And I'll always love you like now. Well, he bought a little diamond and it's the perfect timing, 'cause war's calling him back. His boys laugh and say that he owes it to her, but he says, no, it's more than that. So he tells her of his dreams and how he'd do anything. She cries, he cries, then he pulls out the ring and says, when I get back, would you marry me? And she smiles and nods and says, don't leave me hopelessly broken. My heart is too in this now. Words just cannot be spoken of how much I love you right now. And I'll always love you right now. What makes you see things you did not see before? You take that love, and God loves us even more. Yeah, it almost seems impossible. I'm thinking of a man who carried my cross and paid what I could not pay. If I could have been there and looked him in the eyes, I wonder if he'd say, don't leave me hopelessly broken. My heart is too in this now. Words just cannot be spoken of how much I love you right now. Don't leave me hopelessly broken. My heart is too in this now. Words just cannot be spoken of how much I love you right now. And I'll always love you right now. Cool. I'm just going to sing a couple more for you. This right here, this song for me, I told you I signed with a record label. I've been doing music for a long time, but I'm really in a really crazy place in my life right now, and it's a crazy good place, but it was really scary at first. I have had the opportunity to travel all over the world, and and make music and the opportunity for fame and the opportunity for fortune. And it always felt really uncomfortable, and it always felt weird, because I always felt like even with all these opportunities, there was something that was a lack, and the lack was Jesus and all that. And I think even sometimes people in ministry can get called up where their ministry is more important than their family or even their relationship with God. And I saw a lot of that. And honestly, in the last year or so, I've just kind of made the decision. Maybe the whole fortune and fame thing looks really pretty from the outside, but it's actually can be pretty terrible because it does not meet the needs that Jesus Christ meets, and it never will. And so what's crazy is I've realized in my life that the most important thing is to focus on Jesus and how can I live for him in the best way, and how can I point people to him in the best way. And so I started a blog, and I started kind of writing my thoughts, and then that went viral. And then Sunny came along, and I talk about Sunny a lot, but Sunny is a big person, even though she's tiny. In my life, Sunny has been somebody who's been influential, and honestly, an answer to prayers that I've had for a long time, of someone who could mentor me, but also teach me some things about being in ministry and family and stuff like that. But when I did my blog, I thought, Sunny, you know what? You say a lot of crazy things. You should do a blog. And she started doing that, and then now hers has blown up as well. And that is our way to kind of reach the world. And now all these other crazy opportunities have come about from that. And I think that my prayer, more than anything, for my life, for Sunny's life, and for your life tonight, is that we live in such a way for Jesus, and we make decisions in such a way that if people look at us like we are crazy, that we're okay with that. Because we're okay with looking crazy for God. We're okay with, we're not ashamed of him. We're okay with putting things that everybody in the world would say should be first in the back because of how much we love Jesus. We're okay with not having sex before we get married because that's what God says. Even though that the world's telling us that it's completely a different situation, we're okay with that because we love God in such a way we trust him, and that this is what he says. So we're going to trust what he says, whether we agree with it or not, or whether we understand it or not. That we will do things out of the norm, that we will be crazy, that we will live audacious faith and just be crazy for Jesus. That's my prayer for myself and my family. That's my prayer for you and your family. So I want to sing this song. It's called Crazy. And then I just want to tell you a little bit about this benefit thing, and then I'm going to be done because I know that I've talked your ears off tonight. But this song right here is my testimony song, and I hope that it can be something of yours as well. I'm going to run so the soles of my shoes fall off. I'll run. Think of you with all my heart. I'll run because of all the sin that you forgot. I'll run. And I'll believe, Lord, just because you tell me to believe. When I can't find the concrete proof, believe, because I know it pleases you to believe. I'm gonna love you all the way to foolish, because you were so good and you're so worth it. You saw me out when I was scared of being loved. You tore me down, every wall around my heart, some way, somehow. I'm convinced that you're enough. And now I'm gonna love you all the way to foolish, because you were so good, God, and you're so worth it. I wanna know you and grace so amazing. I'd do anything for you, even if it seems crazy, 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 yeah.
'cause you were so good. You're so worth it. I wanna know you in grace so amazing. I'd do anything for you, even if it seems crazy. I wanna know you in grace so amazing. I'd do anything for you, seems crazy, yeah. Even if it seems crazy.
Well, I want to be honest with you. I've been praying a lot about coming to your church. In fact, I've been really nervous about it all week, and the main reason is because your church and your families know a lot of what my family is going through right now, and it's hard to sometimes convey feelings, and it's also hard to look at other people who are hurting, and be able to kind of give them anything of substance or soften the blow sometimes, because you know that it's really hard. It's easier said than done a lot of times. So my nephew is Collier Gray, and if you don't know his story, Collier is a hilarious 11-year-old boy. He loves Minecraft, whatever that is, loves video games, really, really smart. Just a really funny 11-year-old boy. And Collier had a massive stroke in February. He had a massive stroke on February 25th. And since then, his health has kind of been this roller coaster ride. There's been a few times in the last 6 months where it's been really grim, and we weren't really sure if he would make it through the night. And then there's been high points, but it's been a really hard situation. He's nonverbal now, and he's can't control his limbs or anything like that, and it's really hard to watch a little kid who would jump and do really dangerous things off of like the trampoline or off the diving board and stuff like that, and see them in that situation. And when all of this happened, one thing for me that was really hard is I've been in ministry for a long time, and I feel like most of the time it's easy for me to get up here and tell people that God is good when the bottom hasn't fallen out for me. But for my brother, Carter's dad, it was really hard for me to figure out what to say to him, because he wasn't on the same page about God as I was. You know, I told you we grew up in a really strict church, and somebody came along and introduced me to the fact that God loved us and that God was a God of grace, but nobody ever really did that for him. And so for a long time, he was just very, like, not even open to hearing anything about God, or the church was a bad, bad place to him. And so I didn't know what to say to him in that circumstance, because we can all go and say, you know what, God has a plan and God's going to work through this. But if you don't really love God and you don't really know God, for somebody in that place, you don't really know how much value that is to them. And so I really was having a hard time, but crazy enough, sat down with my brother and we started talking about it. And we started talking about God in this way of why is the way you believe different than what we grew up believing? And I told him, you know, because God is this way, and I can't tell you why this has happened. I don't have any answers. A lot of people go, well, what's God's plan in this? I mean, God always has a plan, so what's his plan? Well, sometimes you're not really meant to know exactly what God's plan is. I mean, we're human. You know, God is all-knowing. We would love to be all-knowing, but we're just not. There are some times when things just happen, and you don't really have an answer for it. But what I could tell my brother is that even though I don't have an answer for what's going on with Collier right now, what I can tell you is that God is still good, and that God does love us, and that God loves Collier, and that He will walk us through the situation. I'm not telling you that it's going to be everything that you want and more. I'm not telling you that, you know, I do think that prayer works, but I also believe that that sometimes God's plan may not be what we want it to be. And a part of that is, do we trust God enough to let him walk us through that process? And so we talked about it. And then my brother, after some time, he actually became, he was saved like when he was a kid, but he had walked away. And so he rededicated his life to the Lord. And so since then, it's been a roller coaster, but for my brother, I don't know that he would be where he is with the Lord had all this not happened. I don't know that our family would be where our family is with the Lord had not all this happened. And so there have been parts of it that have been beautiful from it, that God has shown his glory and God has shown us how much he loves us. And God has shown us that he did not forget us. He did not walk away, that he's been with us there the entire time. And so we wanted to do, you know, people were asking, how can we help? And we wanted to do some sort of benefit. And the best way that we could think to do it is, well, let's do a benefit concert that points eyes to Jesus. We want people, like when you guys buy tickets to this concert, you're helping pay for Collier's medical bills through your ticket. But then when you get to the concert, our hope is to say, okay, we are in a situation as a family that has probably been the worst ever that's ever happened to our family, but God has still been good through it, and he has walked us through the situation. And that same God that is for us is for you. And that's why I'm here for y'all tonight. You guys have been going through something very similar, and I can stand up here, and I would be lying to tell you that I knew exactly why things like this happen. I just don't. But one thing that I have figured is that the crazy thing about God is that he loves us, but he also, sometimes he just wants us to trust him. Even when that's really hard. I was reading Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 always like rocks my world, because I think sometimes we get so stuck in the New Testament, which, I mean, obviously I really like the New Testament too. But sometimes we forget that God is that same God that did all those crazy, huge things in the Old Testament. And so Hebrews 11 is always cool to me, because it's like, hey, remember when God did this crazy thing? That's the same crazy God that we're telling you to trust now. And so here is my encouragement to you. I don't know why bad things happen. I don't. But what I can tell you is that God loves you. God loves Colin. God loves Colin's family, and God is good enough that when we are confused and when we're angry and when we don't understand what is going on, he loves us enough to be able to handle that. We can go to God in our confusion and in our anger and say, God, I don't know what is going on. I don't know what's going on. We can cry out to him. He doesn't shut us out. When we feel that way. So this is my encouragement to you. You can talk to God about this, and you don't have to have a filter. God loves you enough to be able to listen. He already knows what your heart is feeling anyway. So he'll listen to you, and he will comfort you, and he will walk you through the situation. You guys have got this community together to be walking together through this situation. And no matter what happens at the end of the day, God loves you, and he's there. He's there. We found that out for our family. And I know that that is the truth for your family and for your church family as well. I'm going to do one more song, and then I'm going to sing the last word, and then whatever happens after that is completely up to you guys. But I just want to encourage you in that, because there's sometimes when we're angry at God and we're confused. And I remember a guy coming in right after Collier had his stroke and saying, you know what, hate that it happened, but we're not supposed to question God. And I remember thinking, I get that you're trying to encourage me, but right now I would love to punch you in the face because that's just not really what I wanted to hear right now. It's not what I needed right now. And the truth of the matter is, it makes God sound like he's not approachable. And God is approachable. And you can go to him. When you're angry at him, you can tell him you're angry at him. He can handle it. He's God. He wants to work with you through the process. So I'm going to sing this song. It's an old hymn. I'm sure most of y'all will know this. It's called Because He Lives. And I believe that the words in it are very true, that because He lives, you can face anything. And I want to sing this for you, and I appreciate y'all having me out tonight. God sent a son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because He I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. I'll cross that river, I'll find life's fine war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate you.
Let's play Overwhelmed.
Yes. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away
It's a blessing to know that God moves in these young people. To see these people come up front, and you have to forgive me, I'm still trying to shake that off. I want to thank our guest tonight. That was a great message. Thank you very much. Now, this is a time that we're going to take up an offering for Colin and his family and Collier and his family. And if you're going to write out a check, we ask that you make it to Hiram First Baptist. And in the description, put love offering. But I have to say tonight, I felt the Spirit move. I know you did too. And I want to tell the Sowerby family, we love you. We will continue to pray for you. And I think at this time, I'm going to go ahead and take up the offering. And I'm going to ask Jacob if he'll pray over this offering.
take me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Everybody, that is the end of this service. I want to thank everybody for coming.
Alan,
yes, sir.
We're going to hold it just a minute.
All right.
Y'all come on up there and do brother.
We're not done. It's not the end of the service. We're going to do one more song.
Okay, hold on a minute. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Say, I don't need a microphone. All right.
that's not the right one. We're going to point out something here. It is okay for the adults to get into this too. It's okay. You put your hands together. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. This has been a great service. We don't get to do this that often. And it's a blessing when we do get an opportunity for it. I'm glad you guys come out. Again, we want to thank our guest. I want to close in prayer, and then we'll be free. A little over $2,800. Now we're going to divide that number. It will go between the two families. And it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. So if you would, bow with me and let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. We thank you for this service. Father, that we could just be a part of it. God, we pray the way that we've been tonight and the things that we've done would be exactly as you'd have us do it. Lord, we ask for your hand in these two families. Father, we pray that your will be done. God, we pray that these people can be an example and that we can be an example to them. Lord, we pray that you'd bring us back safely. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you guys very much. We are free to go.
To the soul. I'm gonna run to the soles of my shoes fall off. I'll run and think of you with all my heart. I'll run 'cause of all the sin that you forgot. I'll run and I'll believe, Lord, just because you tell me to.